Let's be seated, church. All right, we're glad that you're here. Hope y'all enjoy the worship this morning. We are in the middle of a 21 days of prayer, and maybe you're involved in that, maybe you're not, but hopefully you are. A lot of ways to be involved. If you see, a website that we have, latepointprayer.org, and so hopefully that you guys are able to capture all the tools that are in that website. And the daily focus, you know, today we're praying for God's provision in your life and in our church and financially. And so that's the focus of today. Hopefully every day you're kind of leaning in on that focus. The daily devotions are on Facebook and YouTube. If you're not, you know, maybe you're not on those right now, so you can go to this website. All the replays of every devotion, you know, about 5 to 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, depending on the day, but about 5 to 7 minutes long. And so hopefully you're engaged with that every day to kind of help you get your day started. And so a lot of tools there. A week from tomorrow, we start the 7-day fast. And many of you might have questions about what a fast is. Why do you fast? How do you fast? What does that look like? And lots of different ways. So go to this website and all the resources there. I PDF, some informational articles. There's some couple of sermons from last year that I preached on some basic of what a fast is. And the goal is not Monday, not a week from tomorrow, for 7 days, that you participate in some way with our church and be a part of our fast here as we close our 21 days of prayer emphasis. And so I really hope that this I've been a blessing to you. I'd love to hear from you. And on this website is a place for you to share your story. And I'd love to hear how God is moving during these 21 days. Or perhaps, you know, maybe there's something to share from last year 21 days. Just say, hey, you know, last year 21 days, and this was the blessing that I saw that came out of that. You know, maybe you didn't see it right away. Sometimes that happens, right? You don't see it until after the fact. So I'd love to hear it. You know, maybe right now or the past year from last year 21 days of prayer. And then also, before we get into the message, in 2 weeks, right? No, next week. Starting next Sunday, we're kicking off life groups. And so I invite you to be a part of life groups here. And you got the QR code. We have that QR code available. You can access all of our classes, life groups. They meet throughout the week in different places. So check them out. Also, that's available in your program. And you can see all the information there. You can sign up on the back of your connection card. And so get plugged in, you know, with our 21 days, get plugged into life groups. So today I want to continue last Sunday's message. And if you missed last Sunday, I'm going to give you a quick recap real quick here, but watch it online, go visit our website, and follow last week's sermon about life reset and rethinking the reset. Rethinking the changes that we want to have happen in our lives. And so we said a very important statement, and it's kind of the theme still today. If you want to see a change, changing always starts with choosing. That's where it starts. The changing always starts with choosing. And we said last week that one of the key verses, one of the famous verses that you probably have heard many times, it's Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be reset, be changed by the renewing of your mind. So we talk about renewing your mind. You are transformed by changing the way you think. And then last week, we talk about why. Why does it start in the mindset? Why is it the mindset deal? Every change you want to make, why does it start here? And we gave those three things in detail last week, but just real quickly, the reason why we have to start here is because my thoughts direct my life. My thoughts shape the way I live. Starts here, my thought. Because my struggles, all the struggles happen, it starts in your mind. Every external problems, every external situation starts internally right here with the struggle in your mind. And then we said, it's where the Holy Spirit, it's where God's Spirit works in me. And that's kind of how we left it last Sunday. And that was the foundation. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of, like, okay, those are great reasons, Pastor Scott. That's good stuff. But how? Now, how do I make this applicable? How do I make this happen? You know, give me the practical stuff. And this is why you came back today. You came back and here. And to hear the practical stuff, because it's so, so important. I could have breezed through this last week, and I just didn't want to, because I really want to unpack these three things, these three daily choices that you and I have to make that will reset your mind. Reset your thinking. And so these are the three choices. If you're ready, let's go. Choice number one, if you're taking notes. Every day, I must choose to feed my mind with the best thoughts. I must choose. Remember, you have a choice to make. It's your choice. You decide what goes into your mind. Am I going to feed my mind with the best thoughts? Or am I going to feed them with bad thoughts? Bible says in Philippians 4 verse 8, it's very, very specific. It said this about our best thoughts. It said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, the Bible says that we are to what? Think about such things. Now, I want you to be honest. Y'all got to be honest. You got to ask yourself a question as we think it through. Does that list in Philippians 4:8 describe the bulk of what you read, watch, listen, and scroll through each day? Now, if you were to be honest, I would think most of us would say, yeah, not so. Not so much. The answer is no. This is something you have to train yourself to do. You think thoughts that are pure, that are beautiful and right and true and noble and admirable, things that are lovely and excellent, the thought that brings peace into my mind. This is your choice. You get to choose what you think about. So if you're watching, you know, if you're watching news for hours upon hours and upon hours every day, or you're just scrolling through the media all day long, comparing yourself to others, or feeling bad about yourself or feeling good about yourself, I don't know. But you're doing all of that stuff, and then you only spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes at most, reading God's word. You need to evaluate your mental intake. You need to reevaluate that. I'm not saying you can't do all that other stuff, but for some of you, the scale of all the stuff that the world has outweighs what you really should be thinking, the best thoughts, and spending time in God's word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool, he feeds on trash. I mean, that's a very direct statement. Another translation says, are you hungry for truth? Well, he might be hungry for spiritual junk food. And so God said the difference, hey, the difference between a wise man and a foolish man is what fills his or what fills her mind. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, if you hold, by the way, the idea of hold means to continue, you're holding. You know, you got it. Now, if you're holding onto Jesus' teachings, if you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciple. Then it said in verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I've heard this verse taken out of context all the time. You know, I've heard non-Christians, you know, they quote this verse all the time, not knowing that they're saying the words of Jesus. You know, the truth will set you free, right? The truth will set you free. Well, what kind of truth is he talking about here? It's talking about the teaching of Jesus. It's talking about the word of God. It's not talking about a mathematical truth or a scientific truth. It's certainly not talking about your truth or my truth. It's talking about the truth. It's the truth of God he said, and that is what will set you free. Not my truth. My truth gets me in trouble. So does your truth. My truth is my opinions. He says, hey, we need to set our mind on the truth of God. It's his truth that will set us free. And if you focus your mind more on scripture, then you're going to experience more freedom. And if you fill it with worldly chatter and worldly negativity, then you're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel stuck. Check out what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 97. He said, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. And so you got a choice to make. You've got to choose to think on the best thoughts. Get into God's word every day. I'm telling you, if you do that, your life will change for the good. So really get into his word. Every day you have to choose to feed your mind with the best thoughts, and the best thoughts are the word of God. Here's the second choice that we all have to make. Every day I choose to free my mind from destructive thoughts. I must choose to free my mind from destructive thoughts. Again, I have a choice. You have a choice. Very important. Bible says in Romans 8:5, those who live according to the flesh have their, what? Minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their, say again, minds set on what the Spirit desires. So you're either controlled by the devil, you know, the thought that he put in your mind that you allow them in, or you're controlled by God, by God's thought, what the Spirit put in your mind. See, here's the deal. Your mind and my mind has to be liberated. Your mind needs to be delivered. It needs to be released. Your mind needs to be set free. Otherwise, your mind will be dominated by all the wrong things and all the wrong thoughts. Your mind needs to be set free. And this isn't easy, because there are forces around you that has a battle for your mind. They are fighting. In fact, I call them the three enemies that are constantly at war within us. And they have no intention of letting up. They do not want to give up grounds. They are in it, and the minute you wake up, they are after you all day long. They don't take a day off. As long as we are in this world, they're after us. They're after you. They're after me. They're after this church. They're after us. And so when they come in, you have to fight them. You have to recognize when they come in. You have to recognize for what it is. And this is where the Holy Spirit gives us discernment, right? We have to recognize for what it is. And you have to call it out. We have to see it as garbage. You know, and if garbage comes in, you have to get the garbage out. You have to. We have two kids. Thankfully, they're grown up now. When they're babies, you know, there was one time in the middle of summer, hot, sticky, you know, July, August, the trash, I forgot to take the trash down to the road. Now, remember, and if you have babies right now, you guys got babies, right? Yeah, all right, you know what I'm talking about. Half the garbage are the stuff that come from the babies. And there's a nice pungent smell that's happening in, already in the garage. It's, you know, and there are things that are happening. I don't believe in evolution, but there's something evolving in that hot mess. There was one time where I just forgot. I forgot to take the garbage out to the road. And that following week, exponentially, you know what, I mean, you know, to the 10th power, that smell, you know, was so bad. I mean, every time I went into the garage, I had to go through my garage to get to my car. I mean, I got to hold my nose. You know, I've got to run out of the garage. I mean, if I caught a whiff of it, then I got the dry heave going on. I mean, it was just awful. The flies were, and maggots were being grown into our garage. I mean, it's just awful. A big mess. And Karen was mad at me. She said, Scott, you forgot to take the garbage out, and this is our punishment here for the next week. I said, oh, man, I will never do that again. Garbage in, garbage out, as quickly as possible. Garbage in, garbage out. So what happens when the garbage doesn't go out of your mind? When you let it sit there. You let that garbage percolate. You know, and it makes you more toxic. And if it's toxic in your mind, guess what happens? It becomes toxic in your life. And so you have to recognize garbage for what it is and say, hey, garbage in, garbage out. It goes. You have to fight. You have to fight to free your mind, because these three spiritual enemies, these enemies, they don't let up. They're going after you. He says, so what are they? First of all, it's your old nature. Your old nature is after you. Romans, Paul said in chapter 7, verse 22, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, to the word of God. I'm controlled by the word. But in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. So your old nature, right? Your old nature, as you become a Christian, you know, Christ comes in you, but there's that old nature, that old body of sin still in us, waging a war against the Spirit of God in you. And so your old nature wants you to think wrong thoughts. You know, somebody puts you down, well, man, I'm going to put them down. I'm going to hit back. You know, the truth is often you find yourself doing things that you don't want to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever knowingly engaged in a self-defeating behavior? And you know it's wrong, but you find yourself doing it. You say, why am I doing this? And you knew it's bad, but you still did it anyway because your old nature is not your friend. He is the source of all the bad habits and bad thoughts that are coming against you. So that's the first thing that's working against you, it's your old nature. Here's the second enemy, and that is Satan himself. The devil can't force you to do anything. However, he can make suggestions, which we call that last week, we call that temptation, a suggestion from the devil. Never a good idea. Satan never has a good idea. Every idea he puts in your mind is a bad idea. It's a temptation. And so he can make those temptations, suggestions. He can plant negative thoughts in your mind about a person, about yourself. From the moment that you wake up, he starts suggesting thoughts in your mind. He starts to whisper. He says, "Hey, go ahead. You deserve that. You know, go ahead, get angry with that person. Write them a mean note. Tell them how you really feel. You know, hey, make sure you get the upper hand. They betrayed you, you betrayed them back. Revenge. How dare they say that to you? Go after them." That's what he does. He put in all those thoughts in your mind. In 2 Corinthians, I love it. Paul is talking about to the church of Corinth. And he's talking about this person, this individual in that church that has wronged the people in that church. And all these people, they're really upset about this person. And so Paul, he's counseling the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, "When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit." By the way, when you forgive, it's never for that person's benefit. It's always for your benefit so that the root of bitterness doesn't spring up inside of you. He says, "I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes." Paul said, "Hey, I had to forgive this guy so that Satan couldn't take a foothold or have a foothold in my mind." And so I hope that you would know this, that anytime you refuse to forgive anybody, you have just fallen into Satan's trap. You've fallen for it. He will gain a foothold and he will latch on in your mind. Any area of your mind that you're holding on to bitterness, any area that you're holding on to resentment, jealousy, pride, envy, if you're having those thoughts, hey, you've yielded that part of your brain to the devil. You're falling for Satan's trap. And it's interesting, I love how he said this in verse 11, we are familiar with his evil schemes. Paul was familiar with it. My question for you, are you familiar? Do you know, are you aware that you have an enemy who prowls about like a roaring lion who wants to seek to destroy your life? He wants to destroy my life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy the church. Paul was familiar with it. Are you? He's at war with you every day. Here's the third enemy. The world's value system. This is constantly promoted by advertisers and what we see on TV, movies, music that we listen to, celebrities, secular and humanistic education. It's all part of that world value system. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it comes not from the Father, but from the world." Did you notice that it says nothing around you encourages you to do the right thing? Nothing. all the stuff in the world is trying to get you to go the wrong way. Nothing encourages you to be disciplined. Nothing encourages you in this world to be selfless. So you might be sitting here and say, well, Scott, well, what are we supposed to do then in this world? Are we supposed to hide in a cave? You know, unplug from, you know, our cell phones and just live in the dark? You know, that's not possible. And that's not what I'm suggesting at all. The Bible says we're in the world, but we are not to be of the world. I love what Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said this: we can't stop the birds from flying around your head, but we can stop them from building a nest in your hair. We can't avoid them. They're here, but we don't let them build a nest in your life. So how do we fight back against these three enemies? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons that we're fighting, they have divine power to demolish, to tear down strongholds. We tear down, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This whole passage right here in 2 Corinthians, it's all about this mental warfare. It's all about this battle. See, the battle, you know, the battle for sin is won or lost in your mind. The battle for habits is won or lost in your mind. The battle for being more like Christ is won or lost in your mind. Now, here's a couple of things in the first these verses here. I want you to just hold on to that page. And a couple of things. First of all, strongholds, right? We demolish, we tear down strongholds. What are strongholds? Now, you hear that word a lot. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a lie that I believe. That's what a stronghold is. It's a lie that I believe. It's a lie that I believe about myself. It's a lie that I believe about others. It's a lie that I believe about God. And I believe it. That's a lie that I believe. It could be, you know, a stronghold could be a false value. It could be a world value. You know, it could be hedonism. Hedonism is this idea where you live for fun. You know, all bets are off. Do whatever you want. Live for pleasure. You do what you want to do. If it feels right, it's right. That's hedonism. Right? Or the world value of materialism, where you're living for the almighty dollar and all the stuff that comes with it. You're living for stuff. It's all about materialism. Or maybe a stronghold is secularism, where you live for yourself. Yourself is your own God. You make yourself God. Everything revolves around you. And so maybe perhaps those are some of the strongholds that you have in your mind. It could be a personal attitude. A stronghold could be worry. You have the stronghold of anxiety into your mind. You could have a stronghold of envy in your mind. You could have a stronghold of resentment or pride or self-will. All of these are strongholds. The Bible says we're to tear them down, destroy them. It's a mental battle. Notice the two phrases in that same passage. It's the phrase, if you want to underline it or circle it, it's the word take captive. Take captive. Well, what does that mean? It means to conquer. It means to bring under control, to capture. And so you're going to bring under control. You're not going to just let your mind run and let it go anywhere you want. You bring it under control. You go to a restaurant with little kids. You don't let your kids run the place, right? You don't let them run all over the place and bother everybody. You keep your kids under control at the table. Now, they might be a little reckless at the table, that's one thing, but you just don't let them go crazy. You just don't let those thoughts, those strongholds, just have its own way in your mind. The other phrase in the passage we want to underline is we make it obedient. We make it obedient. It means, in the Greek language, it means to bring under or to bring into submission. So again, I just don't let my thoughts go anywhere they want to go. I bring them into submission to the truth. So how do you do that? How do you make your mind you? How do you make your mind you? That's a very important question. Let me give you a personal confession here. My thoughts oftentimes disobey me. My thoughts in my mind often rebelled against the way I know it should go. It rebelled. My mind sometimes has a mind of its own. My thoughts often go in all kinds of different directions. And I don't intend them to go that direction, but you know, but they just do. By the way, does that happen to anybody else in this room? All right, there we go. We got some honest people. Thank you. Thank you for making me feel, you know, proud. No, I think all of us would say, yeah, I hear you. My mind does that too. You don't always have control. Your mind just goes off in different directions. A lot of times, when I need to ponder and passage of scripture, guess what? My mind starts to wander. Oh, I'm praying. Dear Lord, help me today. And, what's going on with my phone? Just buzz off. Oh, it's an email. I got to take care of this. You know, bloop, 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 bloop. Now, what was I doing? What happened? Mind wandered off. Well, your mind starts to think about all the to-do list. In fact, maybe your mind's wandering off right now. I see some of your eyes. You're glazing over. Our mind, hey, it tends to go on its own way sometimes. We are to bring it into submission. Bring it onto submission. You are free. Every one of us, we are free to choose the decisions that you make. Every one of us. God given us a free will. You are free to choose the decisions that you make, but you're not free to choose the consequences. You're not free. You're free to choose whatever you think about in life, but you're not free from the consequences of your choices. And the best time to win the battle is before it happens. So let's review real quick. I feed my mind with the best thoughts. I free my mind from destructive thoughts. And here's the third choice. You have to make these choices every day. It's this, number three. Every day I choose to focus my mind on the right things. I must choose to focus my mind on the right things. It's not just enough to remove negative thoughts. To replace those negative thoughts with the truth of God. All right? So we are to, you know, to replace it and to focus our mind on good things. Three areas of focus, real quick. Think about Jesus. Think about him. It all starts with him. He's the Alpha and Omega. It all ends with him. It starts with him. Think about Jesus. Or to think about others. Think about others. When you think about others, to shift the focus off of me. And I look at other people's lives and help me to be selfless and not selfish. Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to act of love and good work. And then, number three, think about eternity. Think about eternity. Colossians 3, verse 2, ready? Say it out loud. Set your what? Set your what? Set your what? Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Set your mind on the eternal. Don't be so focused on the now. We get so busy with life. On the now, trying to get there, trying to get that, trying to get a portfolio. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to die. And you can't take it with you. And all the things that you stored up here stays back. I've never seen a U-Haul behind, the hearse. The hearse is never pulling a U-Haul. It all stays behind. But you can invest in eternity. And the most heavenly minded people, they're thinking about that with the way that they live. They're thinking about that with the way that they give, with the way that they talk. They're sharing their faith. They want to be investing for eternity. They think about eternity. It's eternal. It's eternity on your mind. The problem is most Christians are too earthly minded to do any good. And so those are the three things, good things, that we should focus our mind every day. But you have a choice. Your three daily choices to recap: feed your mind with the best thoughts, build yourself with God's word. Build yourself with God's word, not just worldly noise, but God's word. Free your mind from destructive thoughts. Recognize the enemy, recognize the garbage that comes in, and get that garbage out. Take it out. And then you gotta focus your mind on the right things. Focus your mind on the right things. The big question now is this: how serious are you about, how serious are you about wanting to change? How serious are you? How serious are you about resetting an area in your life? Some of you, a couple of weeks ago, said, I need to reset this area. I've got lots of areas to be reset. How serious? Are you just talking about it? Or are you ready to do something? If you truly want a life reset, whether it's in your spiritual life, your health, your marriage, your finances, somewhere else, you got to ask yourself, hey, what am I willing to cut out? And what am I willing to embrace? Maybe you need to limit your television or social media intake. Maybe you need to open the Bible more and spend more time in God's word on a consistent daily basis. Maybe it's reading Psalm and Proverbs every day and reflecting on it, or maybe picking a book in the New Testament. A lot of different ways that you can focus on God's word. But you just need to realize that feeding on God's truth is not optional for transformation. If you want transformation in your life, God's word is necessary, not optional. You see, God has a design for every one of us. I want you to reflect his character, his kindness, his holiness, his creativity. He wants you to reflect him. And my friend, you can't will all that to happen through your own power. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let him lead your mind. Be willing to replace or reject old thought patterns. And the Holy Spirit, he'll give you ideas that will inspire you to grow in faith, grow in obedience. And at the same time, Satan is going to drop those ideas that will tempt you to doubt, to disobey. At the end of the day, you get the choice to choose. And so we go back to that core thought. Changing always start with choosing. Want to change? You got to reset. You got to rethink the reset in your life. God, we ask you to help us today. We pray that you help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to make the choices that we need to make. What the best thing that we should do every day, God, that we will choose to focus on your word. Nothing else is more important than that. Nothing. And then, God, that we make the choices to get rid of those destructive thoughts that the old nature, Satan, world system, God, that we would free us from those thoughts, that we would not let a foothold in our mind, and that all the strongholds that we have, God, I pray with the power of the Holy Spirit, we could tear them down. And then God, I pray that every day we make choices to focus on you, the author and finisher of our faith. We be selfless and think about others. God, help us to live with eternity on our mind. God, I don't know what the next step is for every one of us here, but God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict us today and work in our hearts and work in our minds, and that we will make the decisions that you want us to take. And God, I pray that as we make those decisions, that we will share that with someone. Accountability. To have people that will support the change that you want to make. God, I pray that we will do that. We will be serious. That we will eliminate the things that are holding us back and accept new things to help us to be the person that you want us to be. And we pray in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.